Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rural Advancement. This is the podcast that is by rural leaders and for rural leaders. It is our goal every single week, week in and week out, to bring you content that is not just spoken to the rural church, but is spoken by people who get it, people who know what it's like to live, work, and minister in small, out-of-the-way places, and people who know the value of the work that God does there. I am your host, Joe Epley, and today we get to do the second ever of our segment called Tall Tales of the Rural Church, right? If you remember, our first inaugural edition of this part of the show was the Great Turkey Massacre that I described with my friend TJ, where somehow small town youth ministry turned into butchering turkeys for blessing baskets, and it was a wild experience. But today, I'm excited to dive into another tall tale, right? Again, these are meant to highlight and capture kind of just the interesting situations we find ourselves in that seem to crop up way more often the smaller your town gets, kind of the weird overlaps and how ministry looks. And so I am excited to once again interview my friend and pastor, Greg Ledgerwood. Greg, how you doing, sir?
We're doing good today, man. Beautiful day out there.
Yeah. We're both up in Montana, and I think the weather's finally turning away from that winter storm. Now, granted, that doesn't mean we won't get like three more blizzards before the end of May.
Right.
But we're on the positive side of it, you know. So, well, if y'all remember, last time we had Pastor Greg on here, he was actually talking through his book Champions that highlighted some rough experiences from his life with personal loss, but also just kind of became a ministry passion and a story that developed throughout the years. And so I encourage you to check back to that episode. You know, I really love for you to hear his story, to order his book. It's just been a phenomenal read, and I keep coming back to it because it's definitely inspired me. But today, we have a different subject matter. So, Pastor Greg, the main question we ask today is, tell us about a situation that just felt so like this is small town ministry. You know, I know you and I talked through several, and trust me, listeners, we had some great laughs about some wild stories. But we settled on one today that I think just captures the heart of like just some of the odd overlaps that happen in the rural church. So talk to us about a hospital visit and how that just kind of what led up to that and what transpired there. Just give us the whole story, man.
Well, honestly, Joe, what led up to it was my training at Bible College, man. There was a class that dealt exactly with these type of situations that prepared me, you know, so. No, man, I was sitting there on a morning about like this morning. It was a beautiful day, you know, and the phone rang. It came through to me and picked it up. And it was a gentleman that I'm, you know, knew quite well. And anyways, he had fallen on some ice, you know, probably was one of those beautiful spring days, you know, in Montana where you know, we just got done with a foot of snow a couple of days before. Anyways, so he falls on the ice and he's worried about himself. And I talk to him a little bit. Then we hang up. And man, I tell you, like 10 minutes later, he calls again. He had no recollection of the previous phone.
Oh, no. What?
Right. So,
oh, that's terrible.
So, you know, in all my that medical class that I took when I was in Bible college.
Yeah, the trauma and triage course, right?
Right. I was quick to figure out that we're probably dealing with a concussion here because when he fell on the ice, he hit his head. So I thought, you know, I need to go out there and check on him, maybe take him to the ER just to get checked out and stuff.
Sure.
That's when the interesting part started, buddy.
Tell us about it, man.
Right. Well, I've known him for a while, but I've never been out to his house, you know. He doesn't really invite people over. And when I got there, I kind of figured out why.
I'm so not excited for this. Oh my God.
It was straight from a scene from the show Hoarders, you know, but it didn't start inside the house. It started outside the house too. So as I'm driving up to his residence, I'm like, oh boy, what in the world am I getting myself into? I couldn't even figure out how to get up to his house because his house set back behind some other houses, and it was just an interesting driveway to navigate up through and into his place. Finally, I figured out how to get there, and I start up his little ramp to his front door, and of course, that was kind of sketchy in and of itself, and no wonder why the guy had fallen, you know, and knock on a door. He's not answering the door. Finally, I hear him moaning inside and open up the door. And there it is, you know, stuff everywhere.
The mountains.
Oh, yes.
Gosh.
Everywhere. He had things so scattered throughout the house that even his heating system didn't work because all the vents were covered up.
What? Oh,
Yeah.
my
So
gosh.
he was living in his living room. I mean, as far as his bedroom was concerned, he slept in there and stuff. So he's on his couch, horizontal, trying to get some sleep, which is not what you want to do.
No, yeah, not at all.
Right, right. That was akin, some of that triage training I got at Bible College.
Classic.
Right. And
how to deal with hoarders 101.
Right, right. So I'm navigating my way into toward him, and I look down. And I see he's got a space heater sitting there close to him that's covered with papers and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Not burned down, And I finally get over to him. I, rouse him a little bit, try to make him wake up and talk to me a little bit. And it's pretty obvious he is out of it.
Sure.
So I'm like, dude, we need to take you into the ER. And then the problem continued to get a little worse as I realized he had no pants on.
Oh, no, not a pantsless ER call from a hoarder's house. This is the title of the episode. Maybe not, but still, it's there. Like, it's that's the energy right there. That's so good. Oh, my gosh. All
oh
right,
my
so
goodness.
You're now in a hoarder's house with a pantsless trauma victim. What's your next move?
He instructs me that his pants are in the bathroom down the hallway. Remember, this is a hoarder's house.
Yeah. So easy, clear path, unblocked, totally.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was going to be easy to get back there. Not at all. So as I'm trudging my way through and getting down this hallway, I come across the first bedroom. And I look into it, and, man, there is stuff chest high all the way through.
Gosh.
All the way through the house, and I'm thinking, oh my word. I mean, there's so much stuff in here. If this thing ever did spark, it was going to go fast.
Oh, so fast. Yeah, there's nothing left.
So I'm like, let's get to that bathroom. Let's get his pants and let's get out of here as fast as I can. And I finally made my way to the bathroom, grabbed a hold of his pants by the belt loop, and I'm holding out in front of me,
Just,
and,
that's
yeah.
So good. Little pirate right, hook there, like I'm not gonna actually touch these.
Right, but in that class that I took in Bible college, they taught you how to make it not look so obvious that you're not wanting to be where you are. So I'm trying at the same time to make it, appear like I. This,
yeah,
this
it's
is
resting.
Everyday.
It's resting pastor face. It's actually a skill that we get from the Holy Spirit, where it's like,
right.
Okay, I'm calm, I'm collected, I'm not internally screaming or disgusted. Like it's
right.
Perfect.
And this is everyday stuff. This is what my house looks like. This is what everybody's house looks
like. Yeah, everyone's fine.
Right. And every place I go visit, I go to the bathroom and get their pants for them, just trying to act as normal as possible.
A normal Tuesday. Yeah, it's a really normal.
Right, right. So anyway, I end up going in there and I have to help him put his pants on.
Sure,
oh, my
sure.
goodness. I mean, again, everyday normal stuff, helping
a
grown man put his pants on,
Gosh.
Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Then I, help him navigate out the house and to my car and out to the ER. And what a beautiful day. And the good thing is, he really did have a concussion. He did need to go in there and get checked out. Just beautiful stuff. This is stuff that good books are made out of.
Yeah, honestly. And even like I can imagine like the description of, because every hoarder is a weirdly different story, right? Like it's like, I don't know how you collected this or that and how did this end up here? I remember in Baker, I think it's a rite of passage, actually, that like a rural pastor has to at one point go to a house because, like, I don't know, we went to this one house and we were trying in good faith to spring clean a community member's grandmother who was adjacent to our church, just whatever the degrees of separation were. And I've got gloves on and I'm just trying to move stuff out of her house. And near the back door, there's this stack of like what looks like almost like bags of kitty litter. And I've been informed that this is like used kitty litter. Okay. Like I've been informed that these are somehow stored bags that have been sitting outside in the rain. So I'm like, well, I'll try and pick one up. And like, I go to grab it and it's like a squelching sound as like my hands dig into like wet, muddy kitty litter. And I just,
nice.
And that's the day I became a pastor. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested
And
upon me. And God said, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. You know what I'm saying? Like that was it. So anyways, continue on your story. Because if I remember right, there's kind of a part two to this. You're at the hospital, and here's where the small town ministry dynamic kind of shows up. So continue on with the story.
Right. So as we're in there getting checked out, you know, my pastor radar is on, and I'm just kind of, you know, aware of my surroundings. And in another ER room, there was a situation where a guy had taken a fall. His was not because of ice. His was, he was a county worker, and he had taken an awful fall off the back of the truck and had hit his head on the hitch. And he was stroking out just not a good situation at all. So I kind of navigated my way away from my friend that I had come there with and went over toward that area and discovered that this man's wife was sitting there by herself, just trying to deal with the magnitude of the situation. Oof. And just, it, you know, fear, apprehension, everything was hitting her all at once. And I sat down with her and introduced myself. I, you know, didn't know who she was, but at the time, but I introduced myself to her and said, you know, I just happened to be here with another friend, and I don't think God does things by accidents. And I believe I'm here just to pray with you, if that's okay. And she welcomed the prayer, and man, there I find myself in the ER, you know, by accident with somebody else, and ministering to this lady. And as we prayed, God just gave an incredible peace. You know, his presence just came into that place in an incredible way. And as I learned later, they life flighted her husband out. He did not make it, but I wonder, you know, that divine moment that God had set up, if it was just enough for her to realize that God did have her and he does care for her, you know. So yeah, you just never know. I mean, I could have sat there in my office that day and said, this is someone else's problem. Mm. But I didn't. You know, I was willing to say, okay, I'll go do this. Kind of like you with the kitty litter, you know, sitting there.
Yeah, you just find yourself in places. You're like, what am I doing? And right. And I think you've already started to hint at it, but I want to ask you the question formally. What is the takeaway here? Like, when you find yourself in these situations and you're already starting to roll into it, but I want to hear that fullness of that answer. Like, how do you encourage other pastors when they're encountering some of these same things? What are we looking for? What could God be doing through these moments, you know?
Honestly, my takeaway is don't say no when some weird situation rolls up and it stretches you and it's going to make you uncomfortable. A lot of times that is the catalyst that God is going to use to do something else. Mm. It may not even be that situation, but it may be another situation that's tied to it or gets you into the right place at the right time for you to be able to be God's, you know, chosen vessel to minister in a situation. So yeah, that definitely has been my takeaway. And that's how I encourage, you know, people that I help mentor and stuff is, hey, when something pops up, don't immediately greet it with no. At least, you know, process.
At least consider going to the pantsless hoarder's house. Like, please, right. At least keep it as an option, you know?
And it makes me think about, you know, how many times when God calls me to go do something that I meet it with hesitation. Yeah. You know, my obedience is not immediate obedience. It's delayed obedience. And at least I did it eventually, you know, sure. But in my delay, what did I miss?
Because honestly, that situation you just described, like, if, again, you don't answer that call, you end up, maybe you go later, like, one, your friend who is having legitimate trauma, you know, like, that's right. Terrible. But then you get to the hospital and there might have been a window there to pray with that gal that could have been closed 20 minutes later. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's huge. I mean, I really love, I love that perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, and small things are small things too, but they can lead to bigger things. I did turn off his space heater.
Good, you know, and that's just, who knows if the Lord is just like, hey, we're going to prevent a house fire. Like,
that's right.
That's one of those highlight reels in heaven where it's like, okay, so because Greg shut off the space heater, right. It actually turned out a lot of good things happened. So,
well, at least it didn't burn down while I was in there.
Oh my goodness. What a party. Well, Pastor Greg, thank you. I love these segments. I love hearing what's just the most rural of stories with the most simple of lessons. And I just encourage all our pastors to learn from that example. So thanks again for sharing today.
You know, you're welcome, Joe. If I could, one more takeaway.
Oh, heck yeah.
I learned we can make fun of people who are hoarders, but in reality, we're all hoarders some way, somehow, somewhere. And I, you know, so I.
A lot of compassion, sympathy there.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There's some things I have a hard time throwing away. Anything with fishing gear in it, I can't throw it away, buddy. So it sits there. It never gets thrown away. Anyway.
No worries. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. And happy birthday. I know it won't be your birthday when you air this, but happy birthday.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, April 2nd when we're recording, it is my 32nd birthday. Here we are. When's your next birthday, Greg? What number is that? Is it around 32?
I don't have any birthdays anymore.
I just celebrate a nice reflecting time each
year. That's right.
All right. Well, from all of us at Rural Advancement, we really appreciate you tuning in to another segment of Tall Tales of the Rural Church. We hope that you feel seen and feel encouraged. Even by the story of pantless hoarders. So once again, if you ever have someone that you feel like could benefit from these conversations, even one like this, please direct them our way. For this week, I have been Joe Epley, your host. He has been Pastor Greg Ledgewood, and we'll see you next week.